This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Another ugly performance. It's becoming a trend for the Bruins out of the All-Star break. We'll get to our opening shifts. Before I do, the trade deadline is approaching. Playoff hockey is approaching. That also means, Bridget and Scott, that what else is approaching?
The return of Sunday Skate. This coming Sunday, February 18th, 9 to 11 a.m.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, me and Bridget are back, and so is Razor. So
Brian in the car.
That's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Brian from Belrica.
No one will even know it's me. I mean, I could literally say it's Brian in the car. Nobody will know it's me. But then once I start shitting on Lindholm, they'll be, oh, I know who this is. I know who this is. I know this voice.
Yes. Yeah, we know Brian's takes. And also, if they bring up the 90s Anaheim Ducks uniforms.
Yeah, nobody's talking about anything. What do you guys think of the 80s USA hockey jerseys versus the 02 Salt Lake City Olympic jerseys? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll have to have many aliases and different voices when I call in. But yes, Sunday Skate is approaching. And also it means spring's coming and all that good stuff. So it's because that's usually the time of year that the show starts up. So it starts one more time, Scott. It starts what date and it goes until the end of the season? Playoffs?
Yes. Sunday, February 18th, 9 a.m. And then every Sunday after that until the season's over.
Lovely. Perfect. Yeah. And Bridget, you're not behind the glass. You're an actual, like, you're a part of the on-air.
I got promoted. I am not producing it because I said, Ken, I'm not producing it. I was like, I will be either hosting it or not involved.
And he was like, you're like, I'm a veteran in this league. I want the veteran.
I had to negotiate. I was like, I know you need someone to train your new Red Sox producer. So
Bridget was threatening to hold out. She was saying like she wasn't going to come in till March.
Oh gosh.
I was starting to walk out.
Well, I I've never said this before to either of you two, but my favorite Sunday Skate memory, I actually went to not Top Golf, what's it called? X Golf. It's an indoor golf simulator. I think it was last year, maybe the year before. I think it was last year. And anyway, I get out of like a 2-hour little indoor golf session, and I turn on my car, and what do I hear? I hear Scott's beautiful voice on the radio with Razor. I think it was the first time that you guys maybe started that show. And I was like, it was nice to hear your voice, Scott. I mean, I hear it all the time, but over the airwaves, boy, does that thing carry from state to state, huh?
Oh yeah. Projects well over the airwaves for sure.
I'm going to refrain from saying anything mean, even though Scott said something mean to me before the podcast. So I had a snide remark for you, but I'll keep it to myself.
the Department of Podcast, Skate Pod Safety is we'll review that one. And you know, it was a preseason infraction. It wasn't during the course of play, so he might get less games for that, or maybe it'll just be a minimum fine. But
I don't know. I might take matters into my own hands and get my own justice.
For Scott's mentions sakes, we'll probably keep it on. We probably won't disclose it because it was a joking manner. But he might have.
There wasn't a record of it. We weren't recording yet, so I just deny.
I mean,
it's one of those situations where like a player, they have an infraction and they know the next game they're gonna have to answer for it. So Scott's, he's already got his gloves, you know, shaking off. He knows he's gonna answer to Bridget at some point.
Yeah, Scott, I'll see you on Sunday Skate. There you go.
Rage is gonna be like, what did I just walk into?
I know he's
you're gonna have more of a physical response than the Bruins.
Oh boy, that was low. Not as low as Grizzlick's 5-minute major in a game misconduct. That was low. We'll get to that. Actually, Bridget, maybe we'll get to that right now. Let's get to the opening shifts here.
Yeah. So I decided it would be fun for my opening shifts to be based around the Grizzlick spear on Pacioretty, because I have an opinion on it, but it's not. It doesn't mean as much as an opinion from you two guys, because I've never been in this situation before. It doesn't really work like that. So anatomically, it didn't hurt me as much as it probably hurt you guys to watch. My opening shift is that I do have an opinion, but I want to hear yours first before I actually like fully form it, because I've never experienced what happened to Max Pacioretty.
It doesn't feel great. I'll start there. It's extremely unpleasant. I guess like the big question is whether or not Grizzlick did it intentionally. And I don't think he did, because I just don't think he's that kind of player. It was only his second ever 5-minute major in a game misconduct. And the other one was after a late hit on McAvoy, he jumped. It was a Maple Leaf player that Grizzly kind of like went after, cross-checked, and then dropped the gloves. So that was the only other one. And that's not dirty. That's sticking up for a teammate, responding to a hit that he obviously thought was dirty.
Zach Hyman.
Yeah, that's it. So I don't think it was I think, and Ray Ferraro mentioned this on the broadcast, like he was probably just trying to tie up his stick and missed in a very bad area. And the fact that Pacioretty had just shoved him from behind, like 3 seconds earlier, I can see why the refs might've thought it was retaliation, might've thought it was intentional. And ultimately it doesn't matter if it was intentional or not, because the NHL rule book is very clear. Any spearing where contact is made is a 5-minute major in a game misconduct. And, you know, Pacioretty obviously stayed in the game, but he was in quite a bit of pain for a few minutes there, because that is how that injury works. You are in a lot of discomfort, and you know, you got to just kind of skate around, and there's really no easy way to make that go away.
Well, yeah. Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had that exact thing happen to me, but yeah, I'm sure he had, you know.
God, have you?
So yes, but like not it, like I had, when I was a kid playing, like I had someone spear/ like do the cup check thing. And fortunately they actually did mostly just get me in the cup. So like it didn't actually do any damage, but I have been hit there. I had someone try to do that.
You might get hit there again this Sunday.
What you said to me before. You all heard that. That's a threat. You all heard that.
It was a threat.
I can imagine that. You know, there could be some. Honestly, sometimes when that happens, though, you can get a little nauseous too. It's like there's a lot of different things. I've been hit down there with, you know, like a ball, like a maybe like a soccer ball or a tennis ball or something, playing street hockey. Yeah, I don't want to get into too many details. You know, I'll try to be tasteful on the podcast, but it's definitely, it's not fun. It's definitely not fun. And sometimes the second it happens, sometimes it's a lingering issue. Sometimes it's like 5 seconds later, you're like, oh, but yeah, I'll keep it off the podcast for sure. Anyway.
My opinion, now that I heard yours, and it was like, yours weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be, in terms of like, I thought you might've been like, yeah, that was 100% intentional. Anyone that does that, like they know what they're doing. But to me, it looked like he did not have the intention to doing that. And the fact that it's Max Pacioretty, it adds a new element to it because of the history with Max Pacioretty and the Bruins and the Chara thing. And I also, throughout his career, he's a frustrating player to watch, and I think he can be a diver at times. So I'm sitting there like, all right, it was definitely an accident. I'm not sure he, like, this might have been an overreaction. Like, did it really hurt that bad? Was this like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go down? But anyway, that was what I first thought when I saw it, probably because it's Max Pacioretty. So the fact that it was to him, it was like he always seems to get really hurt against the Bruins, even though that one time that Chara did hit him into the boards, that was pretty bad. But once again, accidental. So is he going to come out tomorrow and be like, I'm going to take Grizzly to court for, you know, hurting the Jewels?
Well, no. Well, he doesn't have Montreal fans behind him this time. So I don't think we have to worry about police reports and investigations and international like extradition, getting Chara up to Quebec for trial. No, I don't think we're getting any of that.
Another one of the main reasons why Quebec City won't get a team back is
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
French Canadian people sometimes go a little too far.
Well, and you also have, you know, I don't want to give Quebec all the credit. I mean, you got a couple Ontario cities right now going at each other too with the Morgan Riley cross check last night. We can get to that maybe later on as well. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, so Bridget, yeah, to the other part of your question, was it intentional? I don't think so. Just to Scott's point, Grizzick's not a dirty player. And I know the broadcast showed that Pacioretty forechecked him hard seconds earlier. But I mean, no, that was not intentional. It looked like he just missed the stick lift. I'm sure he wanted to maybe lift his stick with a little bit of oomph after getting hit like that. But I don't think he meant to do that. So, all right. But any final thoughts on that play?
No, maybe we can get back to it and like how it affected the game.
Right.
My opening shift is about fans booing the home team, because that has now happened twice this week. It happened Tuesday during a lackluster 4-1 loss to Calgary as well, and happened quite a few times on Saturday. A little bit at the end of the first period, more at the end of the second, a bunch during the third, especially as the Bruins had three power plays and didn't do anything with any of them. And I know there's a segment of people that, and I think Bridget is in this group, that don't like when home fans boo, think it's, you know, unproductive or sound comes across as spoiled, especially maybe when your team has the second best record in the NHL and just beat the best team on Thursday. I don't have an issue with it though. I think if this were a game that the Bruins lost but gave an honest effort and were there and had 30 shots on goal and just couldn't break through, we're just missing the finishing touch, and fans are booing, I'd say, okay, that sounds a little spoiled. But I think, not that all Bruins fans are smart, but I think for the most part, this fan base understands when they're seeing a good effort and when they're not. And I think anyone who watched Saturday's game knows that you are not seeing a good effort. Like, that was just a full-blown clunker, just complete stinker, absolute no-show, up and down the roster. Like, at no point did the Bruins look like a team that had the capability of playing a competitive game or the desire or desperation to play a competitive game. And listen, fans pay a lot of money to go to those games. The Bruins have some of the highest ticket prices in the league. You know, if it's a Saturday afternoon, maybe you brought the family, that becomes, you know, a $500 plus outing, and you just saw trash. Like, you just saw a bad product. So I don't have a huge issue with it. You know, Montgomery after the game said he didn't have a huge issue with it. Players, you could tell, you know, they don't like hearing it, but they, I think, also understand where it comes from. You know, Brandon Carlos said, like, if they're booing, that means we're not doing our job. Charlie Coyle didn't blame them for it. Brad Marchand did make reference to fans having a short memory, which, again, is fair. They just beat the best team in the NHL 4-0 on Thursday. But a lot of those fans who are in the building Saturday weren't there Thursday. So they're reacting to what they're seeing, what they paid money for, and I just don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, Bridget, I know Scott kind of mentioned that your opinion potentially. I don't know if it's changed since you last spoke about this. You still feel the same way?
I still feel the same way. It just bothers me, and I know I'm pretty sure both of you think it's fine, but in my mind, I think that, no, my alarm. Sorry. My alarm decided to go off. In my mind, I think it does.
Bridget, wake up. Time to podcast.
Yeah. Yep.
Oops. Scott's just digging his hole deeper and deeper for that first Sunday skate.
Okay. Watch yourself. No, I think it does sound spoiled. I think it sounds like, I don't know. I mean, obviously I don't think it was a good game, but I think it makes like as a whole, the fan base look bad in different situations because it's subjective, right? It's like, okay, half of them are booing. Half of them don't think that you should boo, but it sounds like the whole rink is booing and Coyle and Carlo give those answers because those two guys are very intelligent and good at speaking to the media and know the right and wrong thing to say. And it definitely affects the players because, and when you think about Marchand in particular, he's made comments about how he, even though he's Canadian, he wouldn't want to play for Toronto because the fans are too, like, they're too much. Like they get on you and they, like, it's to the point where it seems like they really would prefer to love to hate certain things about the team or players or you know, parts of the season. And they kind of seem miserable. And when you see a taste of it in your own fan base, I'm sure it doesn't feel good because they're not 100% used to it. They've been good for a long time. So when it is just one bad performance and you're the best team in the conference or last, like, or even the best team in the league, because they have been the best team in the league at certain times this season, it just, to me, it's like, really, is that necessary? Like, I don't think that's teaching anyone a lesson. I think if anything, it's frustrating. It's not productive. That's just how I feel about it. And I know you guys think that it might serve a purpose, but to me, I feel like the actual result is just that it makes the fan base look bad and it makes the players have like a disconnect with the fan base.
So I think that, Bridget, one thing that you said that I think is very true is that I think when you're watching on TV or you're watching a person and you boo them, you feel like, okay, we're booing them. They know that we're voicing our displeasures. So they have to come out next period on fire, right? But I think when you're the players and you're actually out there, even if the crowd is silent, when you're playing that poorly, you're in your own head as it is. Like, you're already struggling to make passes, to do what's right. You're overthinking everything. Then you add in the external noise. I do agree that, like, if the players are battling it, hearing the boos won't make them in that moment make the right play or have a better pass because they're already all flustered. So I hear what you're saying in that sense, Bridget. However, in general, like, when you're a fan, and Scott voiced it pretty well in general, like, the Bruins fans are smart. They're not going to boo the Bruins because they're losing. They're going to boo them if they don't see the effort, whether they're, you know, 42-0 at the time or they're 500. If there's a lack of effort, if you're in the audience, you're there because you want to be, you're emotional. The fans are emotional and they want to cheer when things happen. And when the team's doing nothing, it is really difficult for the fans to sit there in silence. They want to voice some sort of emotion because they're there, right? And I think, like, I don't know how the Bruins fans could sit there through that game, because Bridget, they're certainly not going to cheer, right, Bridget? So in your world, they're just going to stay silent because they're not going to boo. And I don't know how the fans can, I don't know how they can physically just sit there in their seats for 2 hours and just be like they're gonna boo, you know? And I think that because it's part of the fan experience. But I also think the Bruins fans, like, I think, yes, it can come across spoiled, but in this situation, 2 out of 3 games, they kind of play like this. And when you're watching the Bruins out there kind of just coasting, I don't blame the fans, because what else are they supposed to do? Like, it's not like they boo the Bruins all the time. It's like very rare that they do. So I think when they do, it means something.
And you want to know what else is part of the fan experience? Yelling shoot every time anyone touches the puck in the offensive zone. It's like you hear like a chorus of shoot every time like David Pastrnak has the puck, even if he's like nowhere near the net, they're like shoot.
Bridget,
you know,
Bridget.
I will say along those lines, wouldn't have been the worst advice yesterday, because the Bruins passed up an awful lot of
I'd be shots. Fine if they were yelling that yesterday.
It was one of the lowest shooting totals in a long time. I mean,
lowest of the season, 18 shots on goal.
I feel like the Bruins could literally win the Stanley Cup on home ice. They could be parading the Stanley Cup around the ice. You could still have somebody in the 300s yelling, shoot! It's just programmed into hockey fans.
Yep.
But look, I mean, I'm sure people will have different opinions on this. I think it's really tough for fans to sit there in silence, because the team gave him nothing to cheer about. And if you're not going to boo, as Bridget, like you said, you prefer them not to boo, how can you be there in silence? It's just like, it's kind of like, it's, you're asking the fans to have no emotion. It's really tough. It's a tough ask of them. And I think once in the blue moon, and again, the Bruins lose, you know, they do lose hockey games, and the fans don't just boo them when they lose. I think once in the blue moon, I think it's, everybody's allowed to get out frustration. The fans are allowed to get out frustration, and the players just have to take it. Look, these guys get cheered every single night by this fan base, every single night, whether it's in Boston or on the road. This fan base puts out a lot for this hockey team, and this hockey team, whether it's on the ice or out in the public world, they probably get nothing but cheers and admiration from their fan base. So on the off circumstance that they get booed, I think they can put on their adult pants and take it. I think as long, you don't want it to be an often occurrence, because then it loses its meaning. But I mean, yesterday was not a performance that anybody on that Bruins team should have been proud of, except for Jeremy Swayman. He played well.